Good morning. We're going to go ahead and release the children back to Children's Church now. So follow Mrs. Hickok back to Children's Church. Look at all those wonderful kids. So we were planning on June 3rd celebrating our graduates, but I think most of our graduates are in the house today, so I just want to recognize them for just a moment. We have three college graduates with us and one high school graduate. So if you are graduating from high school or college, could you go ahead and stand at this time? Joshy? So we've got, you can go ahead and sit down, but we've got Caleb Cole, who's graduating from high school. Have you had your ceremony yet? Or is it? It's coming up? Okay. And then we have Abby Cole, who, doesn't it seem like Abby and Maggie just graduated from high school last year? Well, they did a condensed program, and so both of them are graduating with their bachelor's degrees this year. And I know Maggie, I know Abby's going back for a master's. Are you going back? Two, Maggie?
Not yet.
Okay. And then Joshy graduated, or graduation is in a couple weeks?
16th.
The 16th of June. So Joshy's going to be an engineer. So praise God for that. Did anybody else stand up that I missed? No? Okay. So we're praising God for all of them. I also want to recognize this morning all of our Sunday school teachers, because this is the last Sunday of Sunday school that we're going to have for this season. And we do have a gift for you, but it's not ready yet. So I'm just going to have you stand at this time if you've taught a Sunday school class this past school year. So Mike Emerson, Jeff Carr. So thank you all. Like I said, we do have a gift for you. We will get that to you as soon as it's ready. I also wanted to recognize our preschool children's church teachers. So if you are a preschool children's church teacher, would you stand at this time for just a moment? I see Mary. Victoria Ann's not here. Jim is back with. So it might just be Mary. I'm sorry. Oh, and Carrie. So Our preschool children's church teachers, what they do is they teach in a rotation. So they take 1 week each. So Mary is one of them, and then Jim Vernon is one, and Carrie Pinnell, and Victoria Ann Yoder, and Carolyn Berger. Yep. So they take the entire service when they teach preschool. I'm still with you. Don't worry. Now, I've been asked this morning if I would recognize, is Rob out there? Hi, Rob. Your wife asked me to recognize that your anniversary is this weekend, so. Oh, and Doug and Tiffany's is tomorrow. We had a big part in that too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So many wonderful blessings, huh? Now, how many of you spent some time watching the other big wedding this weekend? Did anybody spend time watching the other big wedding this weekend? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then apparently you didn't. But Prince Harry over in England and Meghan Markle, is that her name? They were married this weekend, and it's become a huge phenomenon in American culture that anytime the royals get married, we're all about watching every detail of it. Did anybody get to see the American preacher that preached last week or the other day? Yeah. He didn't pull any punches, did he? He said exactly what was on his mind. How many of you is it Yanni or Laurel?
Laurel.
is Laurel. Lonnie. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. How about did anybody see the shooting in the Santa Fe school this past week? Hey, we need to keep those people in our prayers, don't we? That's happening way, way too often, isn't it? I've got one more. How many of you saw the story about the plane crash with the pastors and wives on it? Raise your hand if you saw that. Okay, so let me ask you a question. For just comparison here, raise your hand again if you watched some of the royal wedding. All right, thank you. And then raise your hand if you knew about the pastors and wives that passed away this week. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, that makes me feel a little bit better, because here's what I was thinking. I was thinking to myself that we are so engrossed in our culture that that when a tragedy happens in the church, maybe we're not paying attention. Anybody else feel that way ever? Maybe we get so caught up in what's going on in social media and things like that that we forget that God is still working, that God is still changing lives, and that we play a part in that. This morning, we're going to have our last message in the Meet Me in Galilee series. And this last message, we're going to look at the Great Commission. We're going to look at Jesus' ascension back into heaven. And then we're going to look at the start of the church on the day of Pentecost. But before we get to that, I want to make a couple of declarations here. First of all, last Saturday we had a cleaning day, and I forgot to mention it on Sunday, but it was so wonderful. So many people came out and helped with it. We got so many projects done inside the church, and then outside the church we got a lot done as well, including Mrs. Bird is here with us this morning, our neighbor up on the corner here. And she and her husband allowed us to take the two trees down at the end of the property down there, which is a huge blessing, I think, to the whole neighborhood, really, because it just gives better visibility on that corner. But the big thing is, so many of us came together to work on taking care of God's building here, and that was a huge blessing. So I wanted to mention that. I wanted to mention the other opportunity that we've been asking you to pray about for the last several weeks as well, and that's the summer snowball. The summer snowball, we've been asking you to pray and possibly give a one-time gift that would help us just take care of some of the things that the budget doesn't cover. So for example, we didn't work into the budget that we were going to need new tires on the van this year, and we didn't work into the budget that we were going to need to finish fixing the furnace in the south wing or the furnace in the children's wing that went out either. So I just want to give you a little bit of update. After last week's summer snowball offering, we were able to bring in enough money to complete snowball number two, which was the south wing furnace, and roll into working on that third snowball, which is the children's fire safety door. So praise the Lord for that. You can clap for that. I mean, in all reality, this is something that we're working on together as a church family. So as we gain momentum on these things, we're really just doing exactly what a month ago or so, when Judy, Janice's sister, passed away, a few of us were standing out in the foyer and we were talking, and we were just talking about how if we believe that this is our church family and God has given us this building, then it falls to all of us to take care of it. And so this is just an opportunity for all of us to be able to work together on doing just that. Now, next week, we're going to start a brand new series, and it's going to run from Memorial Day until the 4th of July weekend, or maybe a little bit longer, depending on how long we need to go with it. And it's called One Church Under God. One Church Under God. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking through the book of Acts as the church came into being. And we're going to be dealing with some of the problems that the church dealt with right off the bat. Okay? Some of the problems that the church dealt with right off the bat. Because guess what? It's 2,000 years later, and we're still dealing with the same ones. So it would be good if we worked through some of those things together. But today is the last message in our Meet Me in Galilee series. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 2. The title of this message is Jesus Witnesses Make Disciples. Jesus Witnesses Make Disciples. And so I could pretty much stop there and you would understand what this message is about. The whole point of what we're going to go through today is we're going to see that as Jesus left this earth to ascend back to his Father, what he was calling each and every one of us to do is to make disciples, not of ourselves, but of him, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And raise your hand if you have arrived. Your GPS might say so, but the God positioning satellite, he has not said you've arrived there. Not till you breathe that last breath. From the point that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior to the point that we breathe our last breath, we are still becoming more like Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are still on the path of discipleship. So let us not be fooled into thinking, I've been a Christian a long time, I've got this nailed down. Okay? As soon as you think that you've got this nailed down, as soon as you think that you've arrived and you no longer sin, I can tell you exactly what your sin is. It's called pride. Okay? If you think you've arrived, you haven't. You're still breathing in and out, and God still has work to do on you, but he also has work to do through you, right? So we're going to look at the last things that Jesus said before he was taken up into heaven. Matthew chapter 28, one of the most familiar passages in evangelical Christianity. We call it the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Now that should be comforting to us, that Jesus says, "I am with you always." Even though he ascended back to heaven, he still said, he is with us, okay? And when I read this, what I think of is, Jesus is on our side. Okay? Jesus is on our side. He's looking for us to have victory. And that should be a comforting thought to us. And he told us that he was going to send another comforter. And who was that comforter that he was going to send to us? The Holy Spirit. And how do we acquire the Holy Spirit? Should not be crickets right now. At the moment that you believe, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? The moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Now, Jesus said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All authority. So when we look at the kingdoms of this world, okay? Like we looked at the royal wedding this week. We spent some time watching that. We're constantly following what the president is doing or what the media says the president is doing or those types of things. Jesus said all authority has been given to him. All of it. Okay, Romans chapter 13 says that God raises up kings and he lowers them. He places people in authority and he takes them out of the way. And so even in that dynamic, God is still supreme. God is still sovereign, and God is still in control. Okay. Now he said, go therefore. The therefore is because of the fact that Jesus has been given all authority. Okay. So because Jesus has been given all authority, he tells us to go and he tells us to make disciples. And the main emphasis in this section here is that make disciples part. Do you have to go to make disciples? Or can you make disciples right in your own family? You can start right at home, and that's where we should be starting, is right at home, and then in the church, and then in the community, making disciples of Jesus Christ. And as we're going to read in just a moment, Jesus said that we would be his witnesses. He told specifically his disciples, but it kind of carries over to the church. We would be his witnesses. Now, Jesus gives us certain things that he wants us to do. The first one is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's an interesting thing, okay? The scripture itself never commands anyone to be baptized. Okay, so it doesn't say that any of you have to be baptized. But you know what it does say? It says that we have to baptize. So you need to accommodate that. If you've never been baptized before, baptism is an outward symbol of what's already happened to you on the inside. It's symbolism that God has changed you, that you have decided to follow Jesus. Okay? So if you've never been baptized before, come talk to me or come talk to one of the elders and we'll get a time set up. Specifically, we have a picnic coming up at Joe Flock's house. We might need to change the date on that, but we have a picnic coming up at Joe Flock's house, and that's going to be a great opportunity for you to make that public proclamation that you've decided to follow Jesus Christ if you've never been baptized. So let me know, or let Pastor Andy know, or one of the other elders. Let us know that you need to be baptized. Then Jesus said, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. So we have the responsibility of biblically teaching. We have the responsibility specifically of teaching what Jesus taught. And so prior to Easter, we did a series on what Jesus taught, and then we've done this Meet Me in Galilee series where we've been following Jesus as he's had his post-resurrection appearances, his appearances to his disciples after he rose from the dead. And then next week we're going to start with a series through the book of Acts talking about when the Holy Spirit comes and what the Holy Spirit does within the church. So, making disciples of Jesus Christ. And today we're celebrating that this church, this particular individual church, has been making disciples of Jesus Christ for the last 35 years. Praise God. Now, most of what we talk about when we talk about the anniversary party or the anniversary of the church is going to be in the anniversary party. I just wanted to touch for just a moment on the fact that the purpose of this church and the purpose of all churches is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is we send missionaries all over the world. And this church has had a special emphasis on sending missionaries, actually not only around the world, but local missionaries as well. And so when we get into our anniversary party in just a little while, we'll be talking more about how God has been spreading the gospel around the world through this church. But I want to read what the gospel author Luke says right before Jesus ascends back into heaven. Luke writes in Luke chapter 24, verses 48 to 52, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem.' you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about the fact that when Jesus said to them, stay in Jerusalem, it didn't mean that they couldn't leave Jerusalem at all. It meant that that was going to be their headquarters for this new mission that he was going to start. Because immediately what he does is he says, stay in the city, and then he leads them out to Bethany. Okay? So here's Jerusalem, and here's Bethany. Okay? So it wasn't the idea that they needed to not leave at all. It was the idea that that's where they were going to dwell. That's where their mission was going to be from. And so what it says, you will be my witnesses beginning from Jerusalem, but then it says to all nations, to all nations. And we should be praising God for that because we represent a lot of those nations. If it had stayed just a Jewish thing, if the gospel had stayed just a Jewish thing, there are very few of us in here that would be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said the gospel is going to go to all nations, to all nations. And we praise God for that. Now, that same author, Luke, he didn't just write the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. And the book of Acts starts in this way. In the first book, O Theophilus, what was the first book? The Gospel of Luke. All right. I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs. Now, my favorite translation of that is many convincing evidences. Jesus appeared to the disciples over and over and over. So in case they thought that they were delusional or anything like that, not only did he appear to them, not only did he appear to one of them, he appeared to all of the disciples. And Paul tells us that at one point he appeared to 500 people at one time. And not only did he appear to them, he said, put your hands here. Put your hands in the nail marks. Touch my side. He even ate among them. It says in Luke that he ate some fish that had been prepared. So Jesus, it wasn't just his spirit that rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And that's what Luke is saying here is, He gave them many convincing proofs that it was him. Okay, many convincing proofs that it was him. And he appeared to them during 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. And while he was staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. And we just talked about that a moment ago. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then the next section here says, so when they had come together, this is verses 6 to 11, when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So Jesus is saying, I'm going to depart, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And what's the question that they ask? So is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom? And he's trying to tell them, no, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. The Holy Spirit's going to come. But no, it's not at this time that I'm going to be restoring the kingdom. He doesn't even really acknowledge him. He just says, it's not for you to know the time or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Okay. They ask him the question, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And he said, that's none of your business. Okay. We'll do that when the Father says that it's time to do that. All right? But he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And then he tells them where they'll be witnesses. First in Jerusalem, that was hometown. Remember, that was where he told them to dwell, to stay. Okay. First in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria. So that would be kind of like our Michiana. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what we see through the book of Acts, is we see the gospel going from Judea to Samaria to the utter parts of the earth, right? And isn't that what we see in Christianity today? The gospel has been spread all around the world and is still being spread all around the world, including in some places that are not friendly to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says this to them, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now, it's been 2,000 years, and we're still waiting for that return. And sometimes it can become a little bit difficult to keep thinking, is he coming? Is he coming? You know what? There are so many promises throughout the scriptures that God has fulfilled. This is just one more of them. This is just one more promise that God has made that he will fulfill. And so we need to be faithful, looking to ourselves, going, am I ready if he returns today? Okay? If he were to return today, is there anything in my life that God would say, you sure you want to present that to me? You sure that's the way that you wanted to come to me? Take a good solid look at yourself and say, am I ready if Jesus was to return today? All right, so Jesus promised that the Spirit was going to come. And at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, we have that Spirit coming upon the apostles. When the day of Pentecost arrived. Now, we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of the church today. Guess what today is? Today is the day of Pentecost. It's the day that the church started. May 20th of this year is Pentecost. And so not only are we celebrating the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, today is a great day for us additionally because we get to celebrate the fact that this church has been around for 35 years. But this was the first day of the church that we're going to read on here. The first day of the church. The apostles are all gathered together in one room. And this is what happens. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in his own native language? And then Luke goes on to list a whole bunch of the people that are there. And when you look at these on a map, they're from all over the place. They're from all over the, quote, known world at that time. And we'll look at that a little bit next week. But here's the idea. They're in Jerusalem, which is about 90 miles from Galilee. And the people in Jerusalem are looking at these Galileans going, are these not all Galileans? It's only a 90-mile difference between Jerusalem and Galilee. And these people are so much different than the people only 90 miles away. I don't think we get that, because when we drive 90 miles, we're pretty similar to the people 90 miles away from us, unless you drive north and then you head to the UP, and those people are totally different, Right, Andy? But for the most part, you drive 90 miles and people are pretty much the same. But we don't get that on the day of Pentecost, they looked at these Galileans and said, not only are these all Galileans, they're different from us, but they're all speaking and we all understand them. And here's the even stranger thing is Peter stands up and he delivers this message and all of them hear him in their own language. How strange would that be? Right? So for example, okay, say we were a congregation and we had people that spoke German and Spanish and French and all kinds of different languages in one place, and one guy gets up with no interpreter and starts speaking, and Dick Bevo, say you speak German and you hear him in German, and Tim Baylor, you speak French and you hear what he's saying in French. And God does this miraculous work in the apostles, and they start speaking in these languages, and everybody understands what they're saying in their own language. Is that pretty amazing? And the result is that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Praise God, right? And that is the beginning of the church. Now, at the end of Acts chapter 2, it tells us what that first church did. Okay? It's not that they just started having church together. They started living church together. The end of Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to, number one, the apostles' teaching. Number two, fellowship. Number three, the breaking of bread, and I'll explain how those two are different in just a minute. And number four, prayers. Those are the things that the first church devoted themselves to. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So the first apostles were, of course, communists. Okay, that's an offensive word to us, maybe. But here's the idea. If someone in the church had a need, they sold whatever they had to take care of the need. And that's a foreign idea to us. We don't often think, hey, I'm going to take my possessions and I'm going to sell it in order to take care of someone else. But that's exactly how they were living together. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Does that say having favor with just the church? No, it says having favor with all people. We should be doing the best that we can to get along with everybody. And sometimes that starts right in the church. Sometimes there are people that we need to go back to and ask forgiveness of. Things don't always just blow over. Luke says they were having favor with all people. And the result of all of that, okay, the result of all of that was the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That was the result. That's a pretty good result, right? Like, if we were seeing that, I'd be pretty happy. I know if Life Action Ministries was seeing that every day, people getting saved every day, they'd be pretty happy. I think if the Church of Niles saw people getting saved every day, we'd be pretty happy. And what does it come down to? It comes down to loving other people more than we love ourselves. And that is so hard to do sometimes. That's so hard to do sometimes. All right, so those four steps there. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, sound biblical teaching. So where do we do that? Well, we do that on Sunday morning. We do that in children's church. We do that in ZeoTrek. We do that during Sunday school. We do that during community groups. We do that during ladies' Bible study. We do that in different electives classes. So this church, those are just some of the ways that we teach sound biblical doctrine. If something that we think disagrees with this word wins. We discard our thoughts in order to agree with what the Word of God says. Okay? Sound biblical teaching. Number two, fellowship. It's more than just eating together. We do that really well. But it's more than that. It's spending time together and enjoying one another's company. And we do that through different things. Community meals, Care Bear events, community groups, and special things like our anniversary party that we're having today. So we fellowship together, but it's more than just eating together, and we need to recognize that it's building into each other's lives. That's what they were doing. So what's the difference between fellowship and when they mentioned breaking of the bread together? The breaking of the bread together that they mentioned is specifically communion. If you remember, in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus appeared to those two disciples, how did they recognize him? When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And then what they do is they run back to Jerusalem and they told what happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's more than just breaking bread and having dinner together. That's communion. That's the breaking of the bread that represents Christ's body. That's the celebration of the juice or the wine that represents his blood being poured out for us. And so in just a moment, we're going to do something that we don't normally do and have a second communion service this month. You know, normally we only have one a month, but I think today would be a beautiful day to celebrate communion together as we celebrate Pentecost, as we celebrate the founding of this church, as we celebrate the things that tied the apostles together in Acts chapter 2, we'll celebrate communion together as well. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And there is a fourth element, remember, that the church celebrated together. But we're going to pause here, and we're going to take just a few moments, and we're going to celebrate communion together. And then I'll come back for just a moment and we'll talk about that fourth element.